greatest audience in the country. I am Bobbin Yart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. And yes, I owe a lot of money to our producer. My wallet's out there, right? Just whatever you think it adds up to from the NRB connection in Nashville, Tennessee, just take whatever it adds up to. I guess it's around $8, you think? All right. $8. That's not bad compared to everything else we had to spend to go to Nashville. This is an H-free zone this month, the month of February. I'm Bobbin Yart Live. No one can use the H word on this show, and we're not taking calls from H's. So at any rate, so obviously we got to talk about something else on the program today. So then we could talk about the passenger, the airline passenger in England with a grenade in a Quran in his luggage, closed down the airport for 5 hours. About 100 planes were delayed, 100 flights. We have a prisoner in Colorado who said to the judge, "Put me to death, I don't care." And, you know, liberals are pro-choice, and they're pro-suicide, many liberals. So they support killing unborn children. They're pro-legalized suicide, saying if someone wants to end their life, then they should have the right to do that. Yet they're against killing this guy, a murderer who had a life sentence, who now killed a prison guard. I thought they were pro-choice. I thought they were pro-suicide. This guy wants to kill himself. They should be all in favor of this. But no, they're not. We caught him again. Hypocrites. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. We have a Colorado mother who went to Italy for 2 weeks. And she left her 6 children alone at home while she went on vacation. The kids' ages are 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, and 14. And she left them an emergency contact list, food, a credit card, and $7 in cash. She's gone for 2 weeks. We have Powell getting ready to address the United Nations tomorrow, the UN. We call it the UN, right? You have the European Union, which is the OO, and you have the UN, which is the UN, not to mention the cows in the corral. But the UN and the OO, well, Powell is getting ready to address the UN. Just as the story is heating up of Iraq's missile program, where they were limited to missiles that could only fly 90 miles. And according to Hans Blix, some of the missiles that they have built since the Gulf War has a range of 113 miles and is in violation of the limit established by the UN. And so that information comes in just excellent timing for Powell's talk tomorrow. Is that Powell's talk? Powell? I know Powell. We'll get more information on that as the show goes on. Just clarify what's going on tomorrow at the UN. Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. All right. Oh, yeah, and we have the UN reporting that the world is in trouble. The population of the world, it's in decline, they're worried. And that's the new concern. Is that a crack up or what? We've got that story from the UN, so we'll get to that. Okay, let's see, where do we start? How about with the inmate in Colorado? Now, for those of you in other states, hey, you guys can handle a little bit of Colorado news, right? We don't do a lot of Colorado news on this program. Bob and Yurt Live, our flagship station is in Denver, KLT 670 AM. We're carried by the Information Radio Network out of Memphis. But here's some Colorado news. We've got a prison inmate, Edward Montour. He basically dared a judge yesterday to sentence him to death. Oh, I wish I were the judge. I wish I were the judge. And Montour said, "The court knows how little I value human life. It is self-evident I would kill again if another opportunity was afforded me. I am antisocial, homicidal, and without remorse, and will remain a potential threat. The state can kill me. I don't care." He said that when he pled guilty to first-degree murder. He killed Sergeant Eric Autoby, a 23-year-old man who was an officer at the Lyman Correctional Facility, Lyman, Colorado. And what he did was, in the kitchen, he was on, you know, KP duty. He worked in the kitchen as a trustee, and he took a heavy soup ladle and hit the officer over the head and killed him. At the time, he was serving a sentence of life, well, he still is, without the possibility of parole, for murdering his 11-week-old daughter in 1997. So he should have been executed back then. Now, who's guilty for the current murder? Who is guilty? Well, not only is Montour guilty, but so is the judges. Any judges that were involved in giving him a life sentence instead of the death penalty. So are legislators, all legislators who were involved in allowing alternative sentences for convicted murderers other than the death penalty. And everyone in the community, meaning in the state of Colorado, who has advocated alternatives to the death penalty, all those people share in the guilt. And everyone in the nation who have influenced our society and our government toward not executing people through our judicial system, toward allowing, tolerating life sentences and alternative sentences to the death penalty for murder. Those are the people who share in the guilt. And you know, guilt is interesting. It's infinitely, you could dilute it infinitely, and it's still fully potent. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. This is a commercial break, and I'd like to give you our phone number, not only the number you could call in during the show, but the number you can call to make a pledge, an automatic monthly pledge, or perhaps you might want to sign up for our monthly Bible study albums or the monthly sermons from Denver Bible Church that I have the honor of pastoring. Or you could subscribe to the Best of Bob, the 8 best radio shows of the month, mailed twice a month. So if you're interested in any of those, call us at 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Also, now this is new, and we now have these in stock, ready to go. One of our album Bible study albums that is a good seller for us is our Revelation, Volume 1 and Volume 2. People love to talk about Revelation, the apocalypse, the end times. What does the Bible say about the end? And so we have two albums on that, Revelation Volume 1, Seven Churches, Seven Seals, and Revelation Volume 2, Seven Trumpets, Seven Bowls. Well, we've had those available for a long time, but now, just now, they're available in MP3 format on CD-ROMs. So you can call and get, that's 9 hours of Bible study on each of two CD-ROMs, 18 hours total. Call us at 1-800-836-9278. You can play them in your DVD, in your computer, in an MP3 player. So give us a call. Yeah, this is a whole new forum for us. This is a new forum, MP3 CDs. And our first two titles are available. They look nice, too. We ship them in a clamshell, and it has a description of the contents on the cover, printed onto the CD itself. And I'm excited about it. Also, you know what it does? It improves the sound quality of our Bible studies because it's a digital reproduction. We don't lose anything in the reproduction. Whereas our audio tapes, even when we have a digital master of the original, then we have to make an audio tape dub master, which you lose quality. And then you make dubs of that. You lose quality again. With this, we're in good shape as far as quality. So give us a call and check it out. Guilt is infinitely dilutable and remains potent. What does that mean? Well, we say things like that on this show to weed out members of the audience. We have the brightest audience in the country right here in Bob and Yurt Live. And so you got to think to follow the show. Guilt is infinitely dilutable, yet remains potent. If you have arsenic and you put a pinch of arsenic in somebody's serving of food, maybe you'll kill them, or at least get them real sick. But if you put a pinch of arsenic in a reservoir, you're not going to hurt anybody because it'll dilute. And you get arsenic in your normal surroundings and so many parts per billion. But guilt is not like that. Poison, if you dilute it enough, it tends to lose its potency and it becomes harmless. But guilt is not like that. If one person drives by a house and shoots a gun through a living room window and kills a child inside, that person is a murderer. If the car had five people in it and they're all members of a gang and they all set out to do a drive-by and there's the driver and the passengers and they were all in on it, well, now you're diluting the guilt. Instead of one, it's diluted to cover five people. But it remains potent. They're all guilty of murder. And if you have the Nazis in Europe, and even if there were millions of Nazis who were aware of or participants in some way, the final solution of exterminating Europe's Jewry, the Jews in Europe, well, they're all guilty of the entire Holocaust. Guilt is infinitely dilutable, yet remains potent. So all the legislators, all the judges, all the members of the public who mock God by opposing the death penalty for all convicted murderers, they all share in the guilt of this officer's death, all of them. The shedding of innocent blood here, if you've been against the death penalty, if you've spoken out publicly, you are accountable. And if you are not a Christian, and if you're not forgiven of your sin through Jesus Christ, then on Judgment Day, among the other accusations that will be read against you, will be the death of Sergeant Eric Ottoby, 23 years old, an officer at the Lyman Correctional Facility in Colorado. That will be one of the charges against you. And God will be the one bringing the charge. And good luck trying to defend yourself. Oh, there is no such thing as luck? That's right, there isn't. You're going to be in big trouble. God said, You profane me. He said this in the Bible. You profane me when you keep people alive who should not live. You're profaning God. Let's go to the phones, 800-8-N-YARD. In Goshen, Indiana, Gallen, speak your mind.
Yeah, on the same basis you're saying about murder, the same goes for the ones with abortion, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you're right, of course.
And
a little baby in the womb sucking his thumb, playing with his toes. Anyone who's pro-choice will share in the guilt of that Holocaust. That's why there's a hell. That's why there's a hell. Go ahead, Galen.
As far as I'm concerned, eternity is something that lasts forever. There's no end to it.
What, and hell? You talking about hell?
Heaven or hell.
Yeah, right. God.
And life begins at conception, and a mother is only nourishing the new life.
Right.
So it is a separate part from her.
Right. At the moment of conception, the only thing we add is water and nutrients, and we keep that little zygote and then that fetus, we keep it safe and warm, and it's a human being. We don't have to add anything mystical. We don't have to stick a soul into it or a spirit. And the law shouldn't be based on some witch's view of when the soul enters the body. That's mysticism, and that's occultism. The only thing that you add to the fertilized egg is water and nutrients. That's it. And so
I wanted to say all the people who are supportive of abortion. All the ones who've maybe had abortions or thinking about it or support it,
mm-hmm.
or any of our judges, the doctors, the nurses,
mm-hmm.
the ones working in abortion clinics, the message I'd like to give to them that would they like to think about these babies are dead and soul and spirit have departed.
Right.
But the image of them, supposing they spend eternity waiting around in nothing but slimy, rotty, rotten flesh and blood of these babies. If
you're saying all the pro-aborts, what their existence eternally in hell will be like?
Yeah, for them.
In other words, the constant reminder of the children they murdered, the children who will never play, never go on a swing, never laugh and giggle with their siblings or their parents as they grow up. All those kids, they're going to...
They'll hear the cries and feel the piercing pains as they were murdered. And
from their own conscience.
This is what...
Yeah. All right.
This is what they will...
All right, Galen.
Maybe do for the time of eternity.
Well, that will happen.
Even if it...
Thank you, Galen, very much for your call. Even
okay,
if it comes...
You.
You're welcome. Even if it comes simply through their own conscience, those are the stripes with which they will be punished. Just like the rewards that we will receive as Christians in heaven, primarily it's the souls of the people that we have encouraged and that we have helped to show the way of salvation to. Those are our primary rewards. And the mothers, the Christian moms who have raised their children and honored their husbands, those are the rewards that we will share in throughout all of eternity. Wow. All right. So next story or caller? All right. Let's go to a caller, and then after the news break, I'm going to get through some of these stories here, right? 1-800-836-9278 in South Bend, Indiana. Johnny, speak your mind.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to know if the English High Command was guilty of murder of those Jews, too, is the same as the Germans.
This is the racist from Indianapolis.
No, it ain't. Hello?
This is Ed.
This no, is, it ain't, sir. This I, is I just Ed, wanted to ask that question.
This is Ed, the black racist in Indianapolis, trying to sound like a Southerner.
Sir, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, y'all repeat,
to ask the question.
Y'all repeat your question, please.
All right, the question is, were the English High Command guilty of murder of the Jews, too, the same as the German people?
Which incident you're referring to, sir?
Well, because the English High Command knew about all the Jews being shipped to the Auschwitz death camp by flying over the country of Germany. They knew which places they were shipping the Jews, and they refused to bomb the rail lines, which they could have stopped the Holocaust at that time.
All right.
They never did it. Are they guilty?
Here's the answer, Johnny Ben-Ed. Here's the answer.
Yes, sir.
The answer is, if people know that innocent men, women, and children are being slaughtered, and they become accomplices, or they stand by and do nothing when they could intervene, then they share in the guilt. That's the answer. Did all of the Brits do that, Johnny Ben-Ed? No, they didn't. Did some? Hey, there are people who hate men, women, and children of different races all over the world. So Johnny Ben-Ed has called in to the show in the past, and we recognize his voice. So anyway, okay, good. I've got time for this story here. This is the second story from Colorado that I'll impose on those of you out of state. You know, I don't like to do parochial stories. But here we have a city north of Denver called Greeley. What is Greeley? An hour north? About? We've got a lot of friends in Greeley, friends of this program. And there's a mom up there that went to Italy for 2 weeks and left her children at home. And the police have a message for her. We'll be waiting for you when you get back. They'll be waiting at the airport. They found out through an anonymous call that the woman left her six children at home, ages 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, and 14. And they've been going to school, and they're in good shape, which is good. But she left them with an emergency contact list, which the police have said is unreadable, with a refrigerator full of food, a credit card, and $7 in cash. My call screener said, what else do they need? You knucklehead. They need an adult to be in charge, even if a 14-year-old is mature enough to stay alone for some amount of time. A 14-year-old doesn't stay alone for 2 weeks watching a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and 10-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 12-year-old. So that's definitely negligence. And I think what should happen... Now our government always makes things worse. So they took the kids and they put them in two separate foster care homes, which is a disaster. Instead, what they should have done is found a relative and said to the relative, "You have to watch these kids." Relative or church, you have to watch these kids, all the kids, until the mom gets back. And then when the mom gets back, the judge should have her flogged. Maybe one SWAT, one stripe, one SWAT per kid per day with a maximum of 40, as God said. And then he says to the woman, now, you better be a good mom. That would do it. Hey, commercial break here. This is we're talking now. We're chatting while our radio affiliates have gone to a news break. And we can talk about, oh wow, the plot manuscript. When we went to the NRB, the first day of the NRB, I said to our friends, we had six friends come to the convention to help support and promote Bob and Yurt Live, four from Indiana and two from Alabama, went to Nashville, Tennessee. It was just humbling and so awesome to have such dear friends. And so I said to them, I said, hey, I am Charlie Brown, and there's a publisher here who's, and the publisher is Lucy. And they said, huh? And I later got to explain this to the publisher. And I said, some of us went to that booth as we're walking through the exhibit hall. We passed by. And I said to one of their managers, I went up, and she didn't recognize me. And I said, I am Charlie Brown, and your publishing house is Lucy. And she said, huh? And I repeated it. And I explained, a few years back, the owners of your publishing house, they're fans of the talk show I do, Bob and Yurt Live, and they asked my literary agent and I to fly to, where was it, Houston or Dallas, to a bookseller's convention to sign a contract. They're going to publish my manuscript, The Plot. And we were so excited. We went down there. We got a signed contract, and it was really neat. And then 2 weeks later, they're going through the copyright process, and they decide, well, The Plot doesn't fit exactly their publishing style. And so they canceled. And so, okay, we had a signed contract, but they're friends, and okay, you could cancel. That's fine. No offense taken. So then a year ago, the vice president of the publishing house sees me at the NRB and says, Bob, in fact, he watched the whole hour-long program where Alvin, a guy named Alvin, an engineer on the floor, got saved, watched the whole hour, him getting saved on the air, live broadcast. Then he came up to me and said, Bob, we're going to publish your plot. I said, all right. And a couple weeks later, fell through. So I said, they're Lucy. They hold the football, and I'm Charlie Brown. I run and I kick it. And so anyway, sure enough, this is the third time they said they're going to publish the plot. We'll see. Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live. 1-800-8-N-YURT. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right. So Powell, let's see here. Powell sets stage for Friday UN meeting amid revelation that Iraq has illegal longer-range missile. That's right. Hans Blix is going to give a report to the UN Security Council tomorrow, the UN Security Council. You know, the UN, this is the same UN that's lost, that has absolutely no moral authority with, they have a committee on disarmament it's called the Committee on Disarmament. And the next scheduled chairman of that committee is Iraq. You know, countries chair the committees. So Iraq is the next scheduled chairman on the Committee on Disarmament. And then Libya is the chairman for their ethics committee, human rights committee. It's just, okay, fine. Very good. I'm so glad today George W. Bush was really ridiculing the UN, talking about them becoming just irrelevant, ineffective, irrelevant, nothing more than a debating society. And that's true. He's right on that. That is happening. And the more that happens, the better. The UN is, not only is it anti-American, it's strongly anti-Christian, pro-abortion, pro-evolution, pro-paganism, can't say it. All right. Now, okay, so that's Powell and Hans Blix. So Iraq was allowed to have missiles that go 90 miles. They didn't want missiles that could reach Israel, for example, from their western border. And so Hans Blix is saying they've been making missiles that can travel 113 miles, which are in violation of the limit that was part of the ceasefire agreement effectively from the war. So, and Bush said that today also. He was in Florida, in Tallahassee, talking to the men and women at a naval base. And he said, hey, the Gulf War, we're only in ceasefire. And there's a ceasefire because Saddam pledged to disarm. And so that ceasefire, I'd say, has been violated. And a resumption of the war, this would be Gulf War II, Gulf War Side B. This is the B side, right? The flip side. On the A side of the Gulf War single, you have bomb, 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 Saddam, bomb, bomb, right? You've got that. And on the B side, we've got the best part of waking up is soldiers in your hut on the B side. All right, let's go to Brighton, Colorado. James, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, do you suppose the United Nations, the weapons inspectors, are unwittingly helping American military target planners?
Yeah, by just identifying all the sites they've been going to?
I was breaking up a little myself. By systematically eliminating targets that we need to bomb.
Oh, well, that's helpful, right? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
That's helpful, James. I agree with you, because if they go to a site, and actually the opposite may occur also, in that the list of sites that they inspect, undoubtedly we're going to hit a good percentage of those, because even if they're not in violation, they're still part of Iraq's weapons programs, some of them.
Right, like at least destroy the infrastructure so they can't gear up. Although the target being getting rid of Saddam, the new guys may not want to use those as production facilities. Also, an observation. It seems like the Democrats.
Yeah. I'm glad you pronounced that right. The Democrats.
Yeah. It seems to me that they're, not all, of course, but the leaders, it seems like they're eagerly awaiting an attack on our country so they can make political hay, so they can blame Bush, even if it means the death of innocence.
Yeah, that's a good point. And
it kind of goes hand in hand.
But
with
of course, that would backfire on them, right? Because at least all the conservatives will remember that they were really against significant moves in our own defense.
Right. I think and hope it would, but it seems that it's par for the course. As in their support for abortion, they're willing to sacrifice millions of babies for their own political gain. It's like what's a few thousand adults probably to them. I don't know. I mean,
hey, what if Powell, or who would be good at this? Rumsfeld. What if Rumsfeld were to say in the next press conference that he'd like France's president, Jacques Chirac, to pledge that if any terrorist attack against Americans occurs that can be traced to Iraq or support from Iraq, that France would pay, they would pay restitution and reparations, and they'd pay the families of those killed, and they'd pay the lost wages and medical care for those injured and all property damages, that France would pay for that?
I don't know. What would the French do? I think they would, I don't know. I think they'd turn their nose up and walk out. I mean, they're, I don't know.
Yeah, but that would show that they're acting in good faith if they said, hey, we're so sure that Saddam, that no part of the Iraqi government is going to promote terrorism against America, that will promise to pay for any that does occur, since we know it won't. That'd be reasonable.
Yeah, actually, a very good point. That would be.
All right.
I tell you what, I don't think I'll buy another bottle of French wine here for a long, long time.
Yeah, people have canceled their trips to Paris and instead going to London. Or Rome. Hey, go to Rome. Go to Venice.
There you go. Good idea.
God bless you, James.
Take care.
Appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYART in Miami. Miami. Chris, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I recognize.
I've been listening the on the usually I list on the archives.
Chris, I recognize this voice.
Recognize.
Hey, Chris, just hearing your voice.
Yeah.
I'm filled with emotion.
Yeah.
This is
Chris. What I do is at work, I listen. Well, I teach school now.
Yeah.
And as I grade papers, I listen to the Night Before show.
Oh,
Chris. So I don't get a chance to call.
Chris, let's tell the audience who you are about our friendship. But why don't you tell them? They hear me talk all the time.
Well, we met about, I guess, 25 years ago at an Italian restaurant in New Jersey was how we started.
Mm-hmm.
And we started attending church up in New Jersey, a real youth-orientated church, and we had a whole bunch of kids used to go up in carloads. And,
yeah, Church of the Nazarene.
Right, in New Milford, New Jersey.
Now, back then, Chris, and it's Chris, I can say your last name?
I don't care.
All right, Chris.
Just Garner. Don't give my social security number out.
Okay, you know? I won't. Chris, you were one of the drivers back then.
Right, yeah.
In fact, I think I recall you logging sometimes 5 hours of driving on a Sunday.
Usually, that was my day off.
That was your day off, right?
Picking after up. Work until 2 in the morning on Saturday. Then we went to church in the morning. And we had about 4 or 5 cars go up on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, we called ourselves Rent-A-Congregation.
That's what we used to fill up 6 or 7 pews, you know?
Yeah, and we would bring, my van would be filled, and we'd pick up young people from all around northern New Jersey.
Yeah, we had a lot of kids saved then.
We did. Scores of kids came to the Lord.
Yeah.
And... you worked at Scordato's restaurant, Rich Scordato, Annie the waitress, Joe Scordato.
I was saved through Rich and Annie the waitress's testimony.
Praise the Lord!
And Rich gave me he gave me a big Bible to memorize, you know. And I still haven't got it done yet, though.
Okay.
But he actually, we're going to go visit him on Sunday.
You are,
yeah.
And the Scordatos live in Florida now. Most
yeah, they live a little north of us, and so we're going to take a ride up and see them Sunday because I'm off Monday with President's Day. So
you and your wife,
right?
And you have how many kids?
Two boys, 18 and 15 now.
18.
Yep.
Have
I got one ready to go vote?
Have I ever seen your kids?
I'm not sure, Bob, because you left. Yeah. Shortly after, we lived next door to each other for a while.
That's how long, though, we haven't seen each other.
It's been at least 20 years, probably, because you went out to Colorado about 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. Hey, Chris, are you grading papers right now?
No, actually, what I do is I have to come over to the school and check up on security and that. And
yeah.
So I go in there and I try to get you on live on my internet, but somehow I can't get it through on my computer at school.
All right,
get you on at home, but
hang on during the break, okay?
Okay, I got my cell phone.
Now, hold on. Let's let the audience hear in, even though we're during the commercial break. All right? I'm going to put you on hold. And then I'm picking up line 2. Now, Chris? Okay, I can't hear. Okay, Chris, go ahead.
How do you hear now, okay?
Okay, yeah, we're in a commercial break.
Okay.
And I have your phone number here. We're going to try to call the school.
Let me tell you, I'm not quite to the phone yet.
When you get there, we'll try to call the school.
Okay.
So that your cell phone won't die.
Yeah, now if it comes on with an answering machine, don't let that go over the air. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't. Okay. We'll call off the air.
Okay.
And then if we switch lines, great. We'll call you with line three, right? On line three?
What's it? Yeah, let me get, I'm almost there.
All right.
I'm going through the doors. I'm going down. We're 50 miles under the earth right now. Hold on.
Okay.
We got very secure here. You know, it's a Christian school. You can't take any chances. You know?
It's a Christian school?
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled.
Yeah. Helen, I've been here 10 years. Helen's been here 9 years.
Your wife, Helen.
Yeah.
And
I'm near the phone now. So you want to give
okay,
it a whirl?
Okay. Our call screener is dialing you on another line. So we can keep talking on your cell phone.
Yeah, I'll try to. Okay, I'll try to see if I can catch it.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what happens here.
All right.
One ringy dingy.
It's ringing now?
Well, no, not yet.
Oh, okay.
It's about to ring.
Yeah.
Went right to voicemail.
Okay, then, yeah.
Okay, it's all not right. going to work.
It's not going to work, probably.
It's on nighttime.
Yeah, so that's why. Okay, but I think I still got a few minutes. Yeah, we can talk. I'll try to call back another night with a full cell phone.
Yeah, that'll be great. But so when we come out of this break in 10 seconds, then we'll continue. We'll pick up where we left off.
Okay.
All right. Hold on a sec.
Great.
Chris Garner from Miami, Florida. Chris, yeah. God bless you for calling in.
Yeah.
So
thanks, Bob.
What you called in about guilt in judges, and I want to hear what
is the most is, of course, is the area of defense of the country. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, all the excuses they're giving for not going to war.
Right.
I channel surf a lot at night around the news programs, you know, and I was watching one last night. Last night was the only time I ever enjoyed Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue on PMSNBC.
Yeah, he was on with Dennis Miller, the comedian.
Right.
Who I don't like either, but he gave such an articulate defense for the war.
Oh, he
Miller.
Did?
Huh. Yeah, and it was just he actually made Phil Donahue look more ridiculous than he usually is. You know?
That's impressive.
And that's something to do.
Yeah, that's hard to do, right?
Yeah. But it was something else, though. He was saying, you know, here we know that people are trying, they basically want to kill us, you know? And why not get them first? That's what he was saying, basically.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's just what you were saying about the guilt on, they're going to have to face this guilt if they don't support this.
And right.
Innocent people lose their lives.
Right. The same thing with criminal justice, with abortion,
right.
with terrorism.
Abortion and everything else.
Just,
you know?
Like when the Sudan offered on three occasions to turn over Osama bin Laden
right.
to Bill Clinton, and Clinton right. said, no, that's okay.
Yeah,
we'll pass.
He's going to have to answer that too.
Yeah, that's right.
It comes down to, so.
Right.
You know, but the thing that's good about that is that I think he's sort of reaping that a little bit now because nobody's taking him seriously.
Well, that is a very good, that is a good point, and hopefully that'll continue unless he repents. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Can you share with me what are some of the stories or things that happened 20, 25 years ago that stand out in your mind of our friendship and the environment we worked in?
Yeah.
And lived in together in northern New Jersey as Christians. Tell me, reminisce a little.
I think that the thing that stood out more was the just the true enjoyment of having fellowship. I think that, you know, I don't remember, you know, as kids, you know, we were a lot younger then.
Yeah, right.
But it was just a really having a group of kids that were totally sold out for God. You know,
right.
And, you know, sharing our faith. We had people get mad at us, you know, which isn't, I guess you're used to that by now. But
yeah, right. But because we witnessed to pretty much everyone all the time.
Right. We're basically everybody. And in the,
for years.
When the restaurant, I don't know if you're aware of this, that restaurant. Do you remember this? That Rich had found some old books.
No.
And this was a 200-year-old house at one time. It
right, Scudato's restaurant, right.
Right. And around the 1920s or 1930s, Billy Sunday preached from the porch there.
Come on, I never heard that.
You never heard that?
No, that's amazing.
The old, I think it was Van Something Farm, and they were Christians, and they brought Billy Sunday there to preach the neighborhood.
Wow.
So we worked there, and it was, you know, the way God was working.
Yeah, he was quite an evangelist in the early part of the 1900s.
Right.
And that work from that building continued through the 70s and 80s.
Right, right. It's still open now.
The restaurant's open, but it changed hands.
Oh, yeah. It's just like a steakhouse.
Yeah, it's just your run-of-the-mill steakhouse.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing, I think, was just that, you know, God opened a great opportunity when I got saved because there were so many solid people around me, you know?
Well, right. I remember
you came into that mix, and you know, you brought a whole bunch of other people. And it was great, you know. And I think that affected me even now, you know. I'm sure you could say the same thing.
Right. When you have dozens or scores of young people, who are saved and committed to preaching the gospel, praying. We used to have prayer meetings every week.
Yeah,
and
right.
On Sunday nights.
One of the other things that I remember was we went one night and we must have brought 20 kids up with us.
Right.
And about some, I think probably one was your brother.
Brian or David?
I think David and a bunch of other people. And I think we must have had half them trust the Lord that night.
Become Christians. We used to have people get saved every week.
And I was brand new to this too, you know, and I was saved already, but we were trying. This was so exciting that night. That, but the most touching thing was that you went up to the pastor after everything was over, and just wept because you were so happy that night.
Aww.
And that stood out in my mind. That, you know, you were that sensitive for others to come to the Lord. That when they did, you were just overjoyed.
Well, Chris, do you remember Sunday nights we'd have prayer meeting every Sunday night?
Right.
And it was almost all kids. Rich Scardato and Rose Scardato was in their home.
Right.
So they would be there sort of as adult supervision.
Right.
But this was kids mostly. And we would pray for an hour.
Oh, yeah. Singing, Bible study. He was a man that, you know, he was at that time probably in his 50s. But he opened it up and just opened it up to kids.
Yeah, we went to the Scardato's house Sunday nights,
right?
Monday night Bible study,
right?
And I think Thursday night prayer meetings for a long time.
Yeah, there was a while there where you had other activities going on where the kids would get together by Rich, you know.
Yeah, but it was mostly Sunday nights.
I couldn't get to everything because I had to work. But,
but Sunday nights
Sunday
mostly.
Sunday nights were strict. I was there, and you know, we had so many people come that.
Usually 25, 30, 35 people.
At least.
Mostly young. And we would pray for an hour, 2 hours, worship the Lord, sing for an hour, praise the Lord. And then sometimes we'd leave afterward at 11 o'clock at night, and whoever was old enough or allowed to would go to Manhattan, Times Square, and witness the people.
Yeah, to a diner or something, or climb a mountain up in New York.
Yeah, in the middle of the night, whatever. Yeah. You know, we were a bunch of kids who pretty much had parents who didn't know what they were doing because they let us run wild.
Yeah.
Which they should.
It was controlled wildness. It wasn't like we never got into nothing illegal or.
Right.
Well, at least I don't know.
Right. But we were wild. But, you know, we could have used more adult supervision.
We could have done that. I think you could have.
But we all learned that years later. We didn't know that back then. We were pretty much on our own for the most part. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the Lord blessed our efforts, I think. And, you know, that was really kept us safe. You know?
Yeah. Chris, so. I would love to do a show with you where we reminisce about specific stories and events.
Yeah.
Because we have an audience all around the country who I know. I could just sense it right now. They would love to hear some of the just unbelievable things that we experienced.
It was just a phenomenal time. I think that it was just that the Lord's timing and brought us together. And
we used to go. Yeah, we used to go to our Manchester Regional High School.
Right,
and
I was of course the older one. I
you
was
were the oldest. So when we went to Cape Cod, you drove.
I drove, and you stole my car when I didn't drive.
I stole your car. That's right.
I'm only kidding. That's don't try to. I gotta watch what I say.
You know what, Chris? I remember that.
Yeah,
that's right.
You would. Well, we better not go into all the details.
No.
Yeah, but he was a joke. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. You were the nicest guy I've ever met in my life, and we abused you. You were so nice to us, and we were young punks, and you put up with us.
Well, yeah, but you know, it was fun. I knew it wasn't anything malicious.
So. Well, Chris, I not only will love you my entire life, but for all eternity.
Well, we know that, you know.
For what a
maybe
good friend.
Maybe we'll steal something up in heaven from you if we don't see each other before then.
Yeah, but we got to do a show. I mean, unless the rapture happens.
Yeah, then we won't have to worry about it.
Yeah, then we could do it in heaven.
Right,
hey,
yeah.
You know, I always wondered, if we do a talk show in heaven,
yeah,
could we have it piped into hell?
That would be neat, huh?
You know, and that alone.
The only thing I don't want reverse feed, though.
No, that's true.
I just want it one way, you know. I don't want to, you know, no calls back.
No,
you know?
No phone calls. And, you know, yeah. That alone would make it hell for Hillary.
Well, yeah. Well, that's, you know.
Just having to
Who
listen.
Knows? She still has time to get paid, Bob. You know,
she does.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows? Maybe she'll be on your show in heaven.
Now, the devil won't get saved, but Hillary, I guess there's some chance.
There's some chance right now. You
there
know?
Is. When there's life, there's hope.
That's right.
So she could get saved.
Yeah. So, but, you know, well, right now, we, you know, as we, with the elections, you know, people need to just get out and know their candidates and get the right people in there. Because this is insane with some of the stuff that's going on.
Well, our government is broken. The church tends to be weak. How about in Florida? How's the church in Florida?
I tell you, you want to hear, if you have a quick second here.
Yeah.
When we moved to Florida about 10 years ago, I set a certain set of goals. The first one was find a good church.
Yeah.
You know? So we were here for about 2 weeks, and Helen and I just decided to open the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
So we called a couple of churches, and we got one came back. You know, I asked for doctrinal statements before we didn't go visit.
Yeah, good.
And I got the doctrinal statements back, and I read them over. One, I didn't go to the first church we went to. We went in, and it was phenomenal. It was doctrinally exactly what we believe. The pastor is phenomenal teacher. I mean, he doesn't just teach the word; he dissects it and lays it out for everybody. You know,
praise God.
And so we've been there for about 10 years now.
Oh, that is so so encouraging.
Know, just you know, Helen and I are really established there. Mm-hmm. Like I'm on the deacons, and I'm involved with the men's ministry and things like that. She's involved with nursery.
Well, would you tell Helen that I said hello?
I will.
And I look forward someday to meeting your children.
Well, you ever going to be back east?
Possibly.
Okay, yeah. So
we travel. We got to get on the radio in Florida. Then we could meet up with all our old friends.
Yeah.
So many have moved there. And then, Chris, but I'll have my call screener get your phone number. Maybe we could talk after the show and arrange a night for you and I to reminisce and let the audience in on some of the extraordinary things that happened.
Well, I'm not home now, but is there a number I could reach you at?
Yeah, I'll give you my cell phone number right after the show.
Okay.
All right?
All right, sure.
God bless you, Chris. I'm gonna
God bless you, and I'll be talking to you,
right? All right, I'm putting you on hold to give you my number. So could you give Chris my cell phone number? All right, the call screener's doing that, and boy, am I thrilled. Wow. Chris Gardner, that is just, that's a blast from the past. That's two in a week, because we had Louis Maialino call in from New Jersey last week. Haven't seen him in 25 years. Praise the Lord, all these lives that were changed for the Lord. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.